those
now
were,
China.
Those were the days.
Back to China.
How would you prepare for a game in China?
Well, that's I guess you just sort of with all sort of preparation. My philosophy is you just keep it as normal as possible. Obviously, that sounds ridiculous when you're playing in China, but I'm sure the clubs have been really smart in making sure the training schedule is reasonably similar. What they actually do will be reasonably similar. Foods are obviously an issue, hydration. Mm. People are talking about the air. I think you can worry about that stuff a little bit, but at the end of the day, you just try to keep your routine as normal as possible. You don't go crazy on the buffets, and you're over there enough time for your body to adapt to the time zones and all that sort of stuff. Having a couple of sessions over there helps.
The thing that does concern me about the whole project, though, is that Port Adelaide, because they're sponsored by Cathay Pacific, their players have gone over. The first batch left on Tuesday night. Another batch goes over Wednesday. They're all flying business class, or almost all the players are flying business class, I believe. Whereas the Suns have been treated almost as second-class citizens. They're flying a different airline. They're travelling in economy, most of the players. And I know that sounds kind of petty, but it doesn't seem fair to me. And I don't understand how that happens.
It doesn't seem fair, but look, as a player, you'd probably be like, oh, well, how come they get business class and we don't? That's a natural thing to think, I think. But
it's Port Adelaide, Adelaide time game.
When Pete flies, it was the Sun time game. So when Pete flies business class, and the rest of the crew are down in cattle.
Does he ever not fly business class?
Is that right, Pete? I don't know who you're talking about. I've never really known that anyone else on the plane, to be honest.
Wow. Now we're getting into a holiday. How much are you paid?
I wish. I reckon it is what it would be. The things you're describing is a great test of mental resilience for the players, and you'll see some players who will thrive and flourish in that environment. And I reckon, just given our own experiences of travelling overseas, there's some people that you see that sort of shrink back in the face of new cultures and new environments.
There comes a time when the game starts that at the end of the day, you just have to put whatever's happened on that trip behind you. You have to put your head down and try to win a game of footy. And whichever team has the most players that have that mindset, which the coaches will be able to influence that, the fitness staff, all the sports science, keeping everything normal, doing everything the same, the more players that can actually have that mindset will be the team that wins.
And you've just got to kind of enjoy it, don't you, at the end of the day? You have to fly. The maximum flight in AFL is probably, 6 hours, Brisbane-Fremantle maybe?
Yep.
Brisbane-Perth. You're actually really only adding on another few hours. You're travelling a little earlier. You're staying in a 5-star hotel. You get on the bus, go to the ground. You get on the bus, go back.
Yeah.
It's like...
At the end of the day, it would make a real difference travelling in business class. But at the end of the day, everyone's on the same flight. Everyone's in the same area. You're playing on the same ground. There's no... it's the same. So you get over there and just put that in the front of your mind.
Are you at all jealous, or are you the opposite end of the spectrum thinking, thank God?
At this stage of my career, I'm pretty happy I don't have to go on a 21-hour flight to China. I struggle going to Perth. But at the end of the day, when you finish your career and all that sort of stuff, something like that would be something you look back on fondly and think, I actually played the first game ever in China, and I'm sure there's a special jumper that you could keep and show to your kids later, and it would be a good experience.
And where's next? I mean, I know Essendon wants to play in India at some point down the track.
Hopefully that's when I'm not here.
Yeah, I think that'll be the case.
I love India. I'd go to that game. That would be fantastic.
Oh, there you go. If the editor's listening, please put his hand over that.
New Zealand's obviously already got premiership points.
Just don't get in a fight with your editor again.
We spoke to the New Zealanders last week, actually, on AFL.com.au, and they told us that they've got a venue in mind in Auckland to play games in the coming years. So we'll see if that comes to fruition.
South Africa would be another potential, you'd think.
There might be some security concerns over there.
True.
Just with the rate of carjackings, which is a little alarming.
Matt. Well, as long as it runs on a bus.
What?
The other thing is...
Is that just a stereotype? I believe that carjackings are quite rife, particularly in Johannesburg.
I'm not going to get into this. Right. International rules, the other thing, and they've played in Ireland, and you could see a game happening over there at some point, potentially.
That would be one place that would probably get... I would think the most traction because they know that the international rules, there's a bit of a body of work behind it. They could probably fill it out. But.